Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one show for mortgage and real estate. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're still battling this amazing coronavirus. It's actually Masters Week, or what should be Masters Week, my favorite time of the year. And of course, thanks coronavirus, we don't get to enjoy Masters this year, at least not right now. Maybe in November, we'll see. We've talked a lot about on the show how to prepare for something like this from a financial perspective. And so really want to dig in deep today on personal finance. And if you look at some of the stats out there right now, report in December, just a few months ago, says that almost 67% of Americans do not have $1,000 in their savings account. And 43% of Americans report that they have $0 in their savings account. So obviously, in a time like this, having a savings account is a big deal. Being able to protect yourself if you lose your job, if the economy has issues, and then just regular personal expenses that happen regardless of what's going on in the economy, such as, you know, a car breakdown or a housing expense or a medical bill. These are things that, from a personal financial perspective, we need to be prepared for. And so I want to talk about how to prepare for things like that, how to maybe eliminate debt, pay off debt, begin to control your money that you have, that you work very hard to earn. And so with us to do that, we actually have a very special guest here in studio with us, my wife, Ellen Kohlberg. Ellen,
hello.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
We appreciate you being here. And I want to give kind of a background on, you know, kind of our story here together, why we have you here. And so obviously, you know, our listeners know I've been in the mortgage business for almost 16 years now, worked through the original mortgage crisis. Actually, back then, we're kind of running our own brokerage, a mortgage brokerage shop. And so we were heavily impacted by the mortgage crisis, really, really kind of lost everything that we had. Ended up in a great amount of debt, and kind of started searching for answers as far as, you know, what do we do? I mean, we looked into, you know, maybe even bankruptcy. I mean, you know, things were very, very bad. We were deep in debt, and wasn't exactly sure how we were going to get out. Thankfully, we actually kind of stumbled upon Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace course in late 2008. Did a little four course segment with Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. So a lot of things that we're going to talk about today come from Financial Peace. We would actually go on, Ellen and I would go on to teach Financial Peace for several years, several courses through those years, and a lot of great information that comes through that course as far as eliminating debt, saving, and you know, tracking and budgeting and those types of things. We deviate in some particular areas, especially when it comes to maybe investments and things like that. But important to know our background as far as we went through this once. We didn't have any money in savings, right? And we got hit and had to find a way and make a way to get out of debt and get back on a much better financial path. And so we were able to do that. So Ella, give us your insights on kind of, you know, take us back, you know, 12 years or so. And what was that process and experience like for you?
Yeah, it honestly, it was a scary time. You just kind of felt like we were floundering a bit back then, didn't really have a direction. It just felt scary with everything that was going on. And thankfully right now, because we're on the opposite side of that situation, it doesn't feel that scary for us right now. We feel prepared. So it's just really different.
Yeah, it is scary out there for a lot of folks right now. You know, a new unemployment report came out just this morning, mm-hmm. This past week. 6.9 million people unemployed, and again, I think every analyst is saying it's going to be well above 10 million. I think the question is it going to hit 20 million? 20 million people unemployed. So, you know, everyone is going to be affected in some way, and certainly some more than others. And again, I think it's important, you know, as we go through, you know, the next hour or so, talking about personal finance, it's important to for people to understand that we've been there, we've experienced that. Yeah. And thankfully, we had some great coaching and education through some different classes, and then a lot of personal education to come out of that. And most importantly, it was really the behaviors that we put into place. For sure. I think everybody's got a good idea of how they can maybe make things better for themselves financially. Mm-hmm. It's about the behavior, right? Understanding that, yeah, I could go, you know, and spend X number of dollars, whatever, or I could just stay home. And it's about making those tough choices for the betterment of your financial future.
For sure. Yeah.
So let's begin talking about, I guess, step number one. Is it eliminating debt? If we're in debt, is it getting an emergency fund? You know, $1,000 in the bank as kind of a cushion in case any emergencies happen. What's the first step, and take us through that picture?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, first, you really have to have that underlying want, like that drive to make that change and go after it with abandon, like be really ruthless about it. Not just, oh, I'm just going to change this one thing. Like, we really changed our entire lifestyle.
What's all the things that we did back then? Because, yeah, I mean, you know, you go back in time, yeah. Late 2008, we're substantially in debt. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we did to, I guess, begin the process? And, yeah, we started with, right. Our number one goal at that time was to eliminate debt, get out of debt, because we were in a bad shape.
I mean, we started tracking everything that we spent. We went through our house and found everything that we did not consistently use all the time and sold it all. We sold everything that we did not use. Do you want me to tell the story about selling your truck, or do you? You sold your truck.
Yeah.
I think I brought it up at first, and it was like, no. And then a week or two later, you came to me, and you're like, yeah, we're selling my truck. And by sell, I don't mean walk away with money. I mean,
I think we actually paid a few thousand dollars
right.
to sell it. It's one of the things that, you know, if you've listened to the show even a little bit, you've probably heard me talking about car payments and how they are a complete waste. And that's really what it comes from, understanding from my financial background. I had this, you know, great truck back in, you know, 2008 with a car with a, you know, a sizable payment mm-hmm. that went along with it. And really, when we were analyzing our financial picture and what we wanted for our future, you know, a truck payment didn't include. And so we actually, we sold that as along with everything else, almost everything else that we had at the time.
I mean, electronics, sofas we weren't using in the house. After we sold your truck, we ended up buying a car that we made a cash deal for on the side of the road and drove that for a couple of years.
Yeah, it was a 19. This is maybe early 2009 now, or late 2008. We bought a 1995 Toyota Camry for $1,800 off the side of the road.
And no, zero bells or whistles. And we drove that thing until right before our first daughter was born, which was around the time that we were able to eliminate a ton of debt.
Right.
One thing we did was start tracking. I mean, you have to see what you are spending, every dollar, write it down, see where it's going, and make a plan. And
you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We're talking about personal finance today. How do you get out of debt? How do you begin saving for your future, or saving for emergencies? How do we stop living paycheck to paycheck, but actually begin preparing for our future? Call us anytime during or after the show if you've got questions. 704-999-6646. So Ellen, talk us about tracking. What does that look like?
I mean, you can use a notebook, you can use your phone, whatever it is. You need to start literally writing down everything that you spend, every charge, every utility bill, every payment, every time you go out and get the $4 or $5 cup of coffee. You need to track it to see where your money is going. We came up with a simple Excel spreadsheet and tracked all our numbers. And really, after a couple of months, you can see where your money is going. And then you have the ability to decide whether you want your money to continue going there or not. And just go from there.
Yeah, we do some personal financial coaching through the years, and every time, you know, we start with that, you know, hey, tell us everything or write down on paper wherever you spend money. And of course, you know, we'll get a budget with everything that they spend money on, and maybe their take home pay is, you know, $3,000, and they've got like, you know, $2,500 on the sheet, and of course, the question is, okay, well, so you're saving $500. Well, no. Well, there's always about 20, as high as 20, 25% of people's money that's being spent that they're completely unaware of.
Just random miscellaneous one-off things that you aren't tracking. So when we say track, we mean track everything that you're spending, so that you can take back that 25% or more.
Right. You know, it's being completely aware of where your money is going. Yeah. Now, maybe you don't want to change anything that you're spending money on.
Sure.
But you need to be aware of what you're spending money on.
Right.
And then you can begin. So it begins with tracking, mm-hmm. knowing wherever you spend money on. And then once you've got that kind of dialed in, you can see how much you are unable to save, mm-hmm. maybe, or how much you're actually able to save. What is kind of the next step? Let's say our goal is to eliminate debt, which was ours. Once we kind of eliminate or discover what we're spending money on, you know, if we're a salary job or something, we know how much money we've got coming in. What's the next step to kind of eliminate debt?
I mean, you do want to get that emergency fund going either way.
Yeah.
With $1,000. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that for somebody?
Yeah, I mean, so talk about, you know, once we discover what we're spending money on, how do we begin saving? Is it cutting costs? Is it eliminating debt? Is it, you know, adding, you know, to an emergency fund? What does that process look like?
Sure. I mean, you can go different directions here. I mean, first, I think you need to see what you need to cut out of your budget. The fat, the extra stuff, that 25% that you did not realize where it was going, if you really want to eliminate debt, that all needs to go. I mean, you got to be honest with yourself and your spouse and cut that out.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're all becoming more self-aware and we're actually being realistic and tracking everything, everyone listening to the show right now and us still here talking, mm-hmm. we have some things that we could eliminate for sure, too. And it really begins, it goes down to your desire. You know, mm-hmm. we had an intense desire back, you know, 12 years ago, 11 years ago to eliminate debt, and we went after it. And so, you know, if you're listening to the show, you've just got to determine, you know, what your level of comfort is with your current situation and understand that there is some fat to cut.
Yeah, for sure.
So once we discover that we've got some expenses we can definitely eliminate and maybe begin to curtail some others, what's kind of the next step? How do we replace that money? Or is it a situation where we've been overspending on credit cards or things like that? What does that look like?
Well, I mean, like I said before, we sold a bunch of things to make some immediate money, added that down. We then did make sure that we had a small amount of savings set aside, $1,000, and then we made a line item list of all the debts that we did have and started to attack those one by one. As soon as we paid off one, we made the next, you know, attempt to pay off the next one. And so, that was our only goal.
Yeah, so that's the debt snowball that Dave Ramsey talks about. And it made sense to you right away. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, I was thinking more of a financial perspective. You know, let's pay off the the debt with the higher interest rate, whatever. Talk us about what the debt snowball actually is and what that looks like.
Yeah. So for the debt snowball, you actually list your debts from the smallest debt down to the largest, and you go in that order. You basically throw out the interest rate, even though I know most people want to get technical on that. What is going to push you here is that instant gratification of getting that small debt paid off first. We are totally in an instant gratification world right now. You want something done, you go and order it, boom, it's at your house. So this way, you get the fire lit within you by, say that first debt is just the smallest credit card or the smallest whatever it may be of $100, $500. That's on the top of your list. You go after that one first and pay it off immediately. You've already strike through something on your list or make your goal chart. You can already mark off goal number one. Then you roll that amount into the next payment and you can pay a larger amount on the next one. So your goal is to, as quickly as you can, get through those small debts and really light a fire, which it does. You've already accomplished a goal and you can just really run from there.
Yeah, there's numerous studies on psychology of paying off debt and the adrenaline rush that mm-hmm. you get when you eliminate, you know, one particular debt. And that's certainly how it was for me going back then, you know, and that's what Dave Ramsey teaches as far as, you know, throw out the concept of just trying to eliminate the cards with the highest interest rates or mm-hmm. whatever. You just start with the smallest balance that you can. And that's what we did, certainly. You know, it took me a few weeks to come around to that, but we did. And you're right. I mean, the light bulb really went off for me when we eliminated that first credit card.
Right.
And it just got me more motivated, more excited to get paying off to the next one. And so, yeah, so if your credit card payment is, you know, a $500 balance and you, after you track everything that you're spending money on, then you begin to, you know, budget and create, you know, budget and determine that you're able to spend, you know, or put $50 a month towards that first credit card of a $500 balance. You can effectively say, okay, hey, that's going to be paid off in, you know, 11 months. And then after 11 months, now you've got $50 free, and you take that $50 and apply it to the next debt that you want to pay it off.
Right.
So if you were paying, you know, $50 on that second card, well, now you've eliminated the first one. Now you're able to put $100 mm-hmm. in month 12, right, to that second debt. And so it's just that's why they call it the debt snowball, because you're just building and building and building until you're able to eliminate all the debt.
Sure, rolling it over and making a larger portion. So each time, don't let that now free money go into a new category. No more fun money, not a vacation, not a congratulations to myself because I did this. Roll it straight into the next one and get after it.
Yeah, it really goes down to what people's individual goals are.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, you know, debt's not an issue. Maybe it's just, you know, saving to invest. We talk a lot mm-hmm. about, you know, real estate investing on the show. You can't get into real estate investing unless you have any money. So,
right.
You know, personal finance is so such a valuable and useful tool to begin to prepare. So we're going through the steps that Dave Ramsey lists out, right? Tracking, eliminating debt with the debt snowball. Talk about budgeting. I want to really get in depth as far as how to budget. What kind of budget systems are there out there? I know we do a zero-sum mm-hmm. budget. There's all kinds of different budgets out there, whether it be zero-sum or, you know, post-month budgeting. Why do we do a zero-sum budget? What is that? And talk us through, you know, how to begin budgeting.
Sure. That is what we do, and there's many ways you can do it. We just do an Excel spreadsheet. There's apps right now that work on a zero-sum budget than you can do that. There's so many different ways, so whatever works for you, you can find it. Ours is a little interesting, though, because we don't have an exact set,
So my income is obviously fluctuating
right.
as far as commission, but what is a zero-sum budget?
Sure.
Describe what that is first.
It is putting all your anticipated dollars on paper at the beginning of the month and divvying it out into all the categories that you have on your budget so that it is all given a place and you have zero left at the end of the month. Not just a huge pot, but whether, you know, that extra money, you can put it in whatever category you want, but it's got to go into a category.
So it's effectively spending your money before you actually spend your money.
Telling it where it goes beforehand so that it's not just left to whim.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We would love to help you begin creating a better financial path for your future. With me in studio here is my wife, Ellen Colbert. We've been very, very strict on personal finance for the past 12 years. We started out in a very bad spot. Or we got ourselves in a very bad spot about 12 years ago and began putting these principles in place and are in a much better situation now, to where we really don't have, you know, too many concerns with what's going on in the economy, whether we were to lose a job or not, because of all the things that we've put in place over the last 12 years. And we want you guys to be in the same situation we are. So again, call us if you have any questions during or after the show. So getting back to the budget piece, what's most important? Why do a budget?
So you can tell your money how it's going to act during the month, not the other way around. You don't just want a paycheck to hit the account and then, free for all. You have to tell it where it's going to go. I mean, it's your decision. It's your money. Don't let, you know, other people or just random whatever may come up be what happens to your money.
What do you think the biggest difference is before we began budgeting versus after? Like, you know, I would certainly say that we were not in control of our money. What's been the biggest difference or two or three biggest differences that you've seen prior to being, you know, very rigid about budgeting versus after?
I mean, personally, if you are married, I think communication-wise brings you so much more together. If you're budgeting together on the same page, I mean, first of all, it completely eliminates the what are we going to do with this, because you talk about it beforehand every time. That's a huge one for me. I mean, brought us on the same page.
I don't know exactly what the stat is, but I know that
it's one of the top three.
Yeah, I mean, finances are a huge cause of divorce.
Right.
And so if you can get on the same page and you get on the same page by actually being focused on personal finance, it's going to make your marriage a good bit better. Yeah. If you're married, I mean, and if you're single, I mean, you should quite frankly maybe look for, you know, someone who can help you be accountable financially.
Yeah.
But again, let's get back into budgeting. You know, what are your biggest things there?
I mean, I like to be able to see how much we have to spend out on, you know, mortgage utilities, those things that are set every month, how much right off the top that we can give and we can save. And then we get to direct what happens to all of our funds throughout the month. So it gives us a great picture as to how much we can save towards a vacation, how much we have going towards kids' school, extracurricular, anything. I mean, we get to choose. We no longer are just hoping we can figure out at the end of the month if we are going to have money or not to do something.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, we're in a situation now that we don't live paycheck to paycheck, right? But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
How can people begin to use budgeting to get away from living paycheck to paycheck? What are the benefit? Everybody's got this very negative connotation about budgeting.
Yeah.
It takes some work. But what are the benefits of budgeting?
Well, I think, not to change it, but having that negative connotation on a budget, once you can make that mind shift that you are telling it what to do instead of it is limiting you, is huge. If you are paycheck to paycheck, you get the opportunity to say after the things we have to pay, this is what we have left and this is how we can live our life. If you can't get past that point of we can't get out of this paycheck to paycheck, it's not changing, and we have our budget down as far as we can, get some side jobs, get some more money in there. You can see what you need to do to make the changes and make things happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different things available out there if you are willing to put in the effort.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't ever want to, you know, become preachy. I just look back at our last 12 years and think about all the things that we did. And it was really because we sat down, we decided, number one, that, well, number one was we understood we were in a bad spot.
We had to, sure.
Right. And number two was we don't want to live like this.
No.
Number three was if we continue to live like this, you know, we will be, you know, financially ruined. And, mm-hmm. and then everything that comes along with that. We understand that there's emotions involved. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different, you know, things that are involved, not just the financial piece, but, you know, we truly want everyone to succeed financially, and we don't live paycheck to paycheck anymore precisely because we began budgeting and tracking and doing all the things that it takes to get on a better financial path. And so that's what we want to talk about today. So again, if you've got questions, if you need any help putting maybe some budgets together, give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. Ellen, talk about maybe some of the psychological things that maybe we went through during that process in overcoming, you know, being stuck financially and yeah. kind of throughout the last decade or so, the shift that we've been able to have.
Yeah, it's hard when you are stuck. It truly is hard. It's frightening. It brings up anxiety and fear. I mean, as a parent and a mom, you're concerned about your kids, what you will and won't be able to provide for them. When you are in that space, it is tough. It really controls a lot of your life. And I feel very much now on the flip side, and I don't want to say it lightly as if it was an easy thing for us to get through. It was a lot of work. It was several years. It was a lot of dedication. It was giving things up that we saw other people doing that we wanted to do too. But with the mindset of we're going to tackle this first and we're going to get on a better page. And gosh, it's just so much better to wake up and not feel the weight, the burden of we owe people money and we don't know if we can pay them. And what now?
Right. Yeah. You know, I remember the several, you know, vacations that we didn't go on yeah. that, and when I stayed home to work sure. or whatever. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you're in that spot, the best thing I can tell you is decide that you're ready to get out of mm-hmm. it and begin putting some of these principles in place. Begin tracking where you're spending your money. Understand where your money's going. And that gets into the control piece, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be in control. We kind of feel, and that's like that's the kind of the biggest issue right now with maybe some of this, you know, coronavirus thing, is so many people feel out of control right now. And there's so much uncertainty right now. We always feel much worse when we don't have that control. Most people don't have control of their finances yeah. and they're not even aware of it.
Right.
How do we begin maybe becoming more aware of the fact that we can actually control our money and not let it control us? And what does that look like?
I mean, we talked about the tracking. You just have to pay attention to what you're doing. I mean, we talked about the tracking, and I think having communication. I think there's a lot of people that just don't even look at what's in the bank account, think about a budget at all, talk to their spouse about it, get really real about what they are spending. And
how can they have that mind shift to start that process, though? Everybody, I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll take mm-hmm. care of it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. How do we get out of that cycle and say, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to take care of it today.
Yeah. Real truth, take some personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And just step up and do it. Don't be so concerned about what everybody else is doing and buying. You don't know their situation. You don't know if they're doing it at a position of savings and wealth or debt upon debt upon debt. You can't assume. But I think a lot of people don't take the personal responsibility and just take that first step. Whether it's something you need to get up and write on your mirror and say every day, I mean, just find what works for you. I am going to do this today and commit to it. It's just the same as any other commitment that you have out there. You just have to get intense about it.
Yeah, I think Dave Ramsey says, you know, kids do what feels good.
Yes.
Adults create a plan and stick to it.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
So in doing this, in creating this plan, what should people be focused on planning?
Give me an example.
In just setting a financial plan, what do people need to be kind of aware of, or what should their kind of, we know what our goals were. Our mm-hmm. number one goal is, you know, to get out of debt.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in debt, that's definitely the first one for most people, is to get out of it. Then I guess after you're out of debt, you kind of have a free field as to where you want to go. I mean, is it extra giving? Is it extra saving? Is it saving for your kids' education? Is it for real estate investment? Is it, I mean, you get to choose after that. That is the fantastic part about the freedom of not allowing your money and finances to control you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's, I was actually, got a private message on Facebook yesterday. One kind of a concept I think really gets missed in overall personal financial planning is tax planning.
Oh, for sure.
And that's something that we, you know, we certainly use to our benefit. And I got a private message on Facebook just yesterday, quite frankly. You know, I've got some social media. I was talking about the stimulus package, and so I was getting some questions through that. And one question I got was, hey, I typically get, you know, a large, you know, tax refund. And in this particular young lady's case, the federal government actually took it because she owed some student loans. Mm-hmm. But her big question was, you know, how do I get more money in my paycheck? And we certainly use that tool to our advantage. You know, we don't want to be withholding so much taxes
right.
to where we get a big refund. I think people miss the concept that
sure.
when they get a refund, that's actually money that they've given the government. They're giving their own money back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it may be a situation where you want to look at your W-4, your tax withholdings, how much exemptions that you're claiming, and most likely you could be claiming zero.
Right.
You may want to increase that number to, you know, to one or two or all the way up to nine potentially, so you can get in your paycheck more of the money that you're actually earning and not give it to the government as an interest-free loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what it is.
Right.
You're giving more money to the government so they can give it back to you with a tax refund if you're in, you know, certain, you know, tax brackets, whatever. And so that is one very helpful tool to actually increase your income right now without even taking a second job.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's opportunities to go out and, you know, get some second jobs right now. You know, I think if, you know, with what we're currently in, you know, delivery drivers are in, you know, hot demand. You know, who's to say
right.
you can't go and get a, you know, weekend job delivering food? Nothing is beneath you.
If you
want to succeed financially, that's
nothing
certainly
is.
What we learned too. You know, don't ever think anything is beneath you. It's about providing for yourself and your family
sure.
and getting out of debt and getting on better financial footing and building for retirement, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, anything like that. Delivery driver, babysit, it's... That's needed right now. Start a small business of anything you can do already on the side or offer online. Any of that can create extra income. Definitely changing the tax on your, you know, pay every time.
Yeah, so that's one of the useful tools we use. So we sold everything, worked out some proper tax planning, got some additional jobs. Really began intentionally focused on tracking and budgeting. What were some of the? Was there anything else that I'm not thinking about that we did? Maybe that could be helpful to, you know, somebody listening right now.
I mean, follow up. Don't just start. Like we actually said, we're going to sit down every other week and run through this week and talk about what we could do different for the future. I mean, you got to loop back. Whether it's just checking yourself, checking back with your spouse. It's that follow-up, not just setting the goal and doing it, but kind of communicating about it and following up on it.
actually reviewing the budget is what you're referring.
Yeah, reviewing it, sure.
So describe that process. Obviously, in doing a zero-sum budget, before we reach, early April, before maybe it's the end of April, right? And we want to go ahead and plan out May. So with a zero-sum budget, you know, if our take-home pay is going to be $4,000 for the month, we go ahead and assign that $4,000 a place on our budget, right? So then the money comes in through the month, and whatever we've got on the budget is where that money's going.
Right.
So you're talking about actually, when you say follow-up, reviewing the actual budget, the budget that you've created, going back through, and again, the zero-sum budget that we're talking about is when you go into... if you're going into May and, you know, your take-home pay is, let's say, $4,000, actually assigning that $4,000 in a place that it's going. So as that money comes in through the month, you know exactly where it's going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about the zero-sum budget, that's effectively what we mean, spending that money before you actually have it.
On paper before you have it.
Right. And so when we review that, you know, on a weekly basis, we kind of discuss it on a weekly basis. We're just reviewing to make sure that, number one, we're staying on track. But number two, you may need to adjust, right?
Yes.
Talk about some of the things where, you know, we've set the budget for the month, but then we actually have to maybe adjust.
Sure. So, you know, you do all your mortgage, your utilities, the things that aren't changing, go on the paper. That's not what we're talking about. Anything extra that may come up, we have a set amount that we want to try to stay to for groceries, kids' activities, medical, whatever it is. We've already pre-assigned what we think is going to happen in that category. So mid-month, our second meeting, something goes a little awry. We have something extra payment come up for an activity for our children that we have not accounted for. We have to pay that. We now put that in that category. So what do we need to do? We need to alter another category to make it work. Same with the medical bill that's going to go in there, you know, anything like that. So you have to fluctuate another category. So hopefully at the end you have a little bit of a kind of a gimme free category maybe that has to fluctuate. And if not, something you wanted to do has to fluctuate.
Right.
So it can be you say, and hopefully you're at the point that you can have a little extra savings in a category like vacation that might not be there that month. So you just have to change those numbers and make it work.
Yeah, and you know, some categories that get missed when people begin to budget are some of those things that come up on a quarterly or a semi-annual or even an annual basis, things like an oil change for your car.
Sure.
Your car tax.
Car tax, HOA payments that aren't every month.
Right. Car insurance if you're paying it, you know, on an annual basis or semi-annual. How do you kind of account for those items that aren't on a regular monthly basis?
Sure. If you really need to account for them, you need to divide those out per month and go ahead and start saving for them. So if your car tax is due once a year, you can figure out about how much it's going to be and divide that out by 12 and go ahead and factor that 12th into your budget every month so you have that small amount saved. So when it is time for that car property tax payment, you have all that money in your savings sitting there and it's not $300, $500, whatever it may be, dollars that you are not expecting to have to pull out of thin air. You've already been accounting for that. Same as your yearly, you know, whether it's a car insurance or if you pay HOAs that aren't every month in your community, you just divide it out and save a little bit each month.
I think that's where people really get crossed up financially is when they have those monthly bills that they just quite frankly forget about.
Right.
I think most people are paying, you know, car insurance on a monthly basis now.
Right.
Of course, you get cheaper insurance if you pay it on a, you know, an annual basis, whatever. But for things like maybe like an oil change or something,
sure.
You know, it, when you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's those seemingly small expenses that really put a strain on you financially and where you end up having to put it on a credit card because you're not preparing for it. Then you've got, you know, a couple hundred bucks on a credit card, whatever, and no real way to pay it off. and then something else happens. You put that on credit card. Before you know it, and this is what happened to us. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that you know we're talking about, we went through. So we totally understand. So, but the next thing you know, you've got maxed out credit cards with no real way to pay it off unless you get really serious about tracking your funds and budgeting and actually creating the money. Not necessarily creating because it's already there,
right?
But finding out, rearranging your expenses to actually be able to handle those finances.
Yeah, how to use it differently and better. And I would say for that, if you're getting out of debt and that next thing comes up that you didn't account for, you know, give yourself grace that year. Use that first year as, I have learned this year and I'm going to get it right next year. So whether it's that first year, you need to keep a running list, tracking. There again, you need to know when those things are coming up. Any, whether it's just a pen and paper list that you set in the drawer for a year, and every time one of those items, like that oil change, comes up, you put oil change and about how much it cost. So next year, in April, when you're working on that budget, you just pull out the sheet of paper, and you're going to get it right next time.
Yeah, you know, the longer you do it,
sure,
the more you know, and the better, the more control you get over your money. You know, right. This is something that we've been doing since the end of 2008.
And we didn't stop doing it.
And we've never stopped. And, you know, I think if you look at our, you know, financial plan now, it's give, save, and then spend.
Right.
But we're able to still, you know, it, being on good financial footing that we are now, we still budget every single month. Mm-hmm. We still know exactly where our money's going. And we wouldn't be in the financial position that we are if we weren't doing that every month. And I think That's the biggest key takeaway. You know, how do you get on good financial footing? Well, it's doing the things that we're talking about.
Doing it and continuing to do it and being committed to it. And as your, you know, financial position changes, as your life changes, when you have control over it, it just looks different. And you can make different decisions. You can make decisions whether you're going to save what that extra is or put it towards something that month. But it's just so much better when you can make that decision, not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, so we really enjoy to go out and do things. That's where, you know, we spend a lot of our, you know, discretionary or, mm-hmm. or you know, residual, whatever you want to call it, money. Things like concerts and shows and stuff like that. Talk about kind of how we got to that place. I mean, again, it all comes down to budgeting. But now that we're in the situation that we are now, you know, what are some of like the fruits of being able to do some things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're able to take, whether it's just us or take the family out to a meal that we would have not been able to do before. At choosing, hey, we're going to be able to save about this amount this month. This person's coming to town, like you said, for a concert. Do you want to save it? You want to go to the concert? You know, it's just sitting down, having that conversation and being able to decide where we want to put that money that month. And it really is just, it's just fantastic.
So you are a natural worrier.
Worrier, yes.
So kind of describe, you know, that particular facet of your personality and sure. how that relates to money and finances.
Right. Before we started this, it weighed on me very, very heavily. It felt scattered. It brought me a lot of worry and just kind of physical even symptoms that we were just not in a good place. And I have seen so much of that change and the worry lift and our ability to communicate about it has changed so much. Like, I just feel in control of that and I'm just not worried about it anymore. And it's really just like a different part of life for me, which is fantastic.
So for our listeners, and again, you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So for our listeners, you know, where's the starting point? Is it, you know, writing out some goals, or is it talking to someone who offers, you know, financial coaching? What does that first step look like?
You can do either one. You can call us right now. You can call us after the show. We can get you started. You can. I mean, it's always great to write down your goals. You need them in life. You need financial goals. You need personal goals, work goals. Yes, definitely that. If you can talk to somebody too, help you get on the same page. You can find people that do this well in your life and your family for free. You can find someone that, you know, is a planner that you can talk to. You don't have to do that. You can take a course like we did. That's how we started. Take a course.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, lots of opportunities out there. I mean, just we got into the Dave Ramsey course, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's offered at all kinds of churches and different programs around the area. And then, you know, you can go online to, you can, you know, get a book, you know, get a library card and go get books for free.
Sure.
I think that's one of the coolest things about technology today is there's limitless information. And talk about, again, going back to what I said to start the show, is everybody's got kind of the right concepts, right? Everyone knows deep down, spend less, save more. Talk about the behavior change. Like, what does that look like? How do we begin to change some of those behaviors?
Yeah, it's, what is exactly this saying? It's something like the easiest thing to do.
What's
also
easy to do is easy,
also
not,
easy
to do.
Not to do. Yeah, sure. It's feels just like starting anything else you want to change. You have to do it a step at a time, a day at a time, then restart the next day with the same tenacity that you did. I mean, you just have to go.
I think keeping the goals ahead of you is so important too. You know, whether it's, you know, retirement,
sure,
or, you know, being able to take a vacation. You know, maybe you're working paycheck to paycheck and haven't been able to take a vacation for 5 years. Again, we've been in that same boat. I think, you know, from 2008 to probably 2013 or 14, we didn't take a vacation.
Right.
Families were, you know, were taking vacations. I stayed and worked. And that's just how it was, just because we had that goal in front of us as mm-hmm. far as what we wanted to accomplish financially, and what it was going to take to get there. And, you know, it takes hard work.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, focused efforts and intentional efforts. But, you know, I think that is such a big part, is understanding why you're doing something. And like you said, you know, whether it's, you know, personal goals, weight loss goals, financial goals, keeping your goals in front of you is probably the best thing you can do in your efforts to get to that or accomplish that goal.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like I said before, goal plan with your spouse, with yourself, write it on your mirror, keep it with you all the time. Whatever you need to have, your motto, whatever it is. If your goal is that you are going to get out of this debt and save up XYZ so you can take this vacation that you so want to take, I mean, isn't that motivating? Like, that would be a huge motivation for me every day to get up and do it and be like, in 2 years, I will be here. You know, every day, whatever it is, you know, whatever's important to you.
So let's talk about, maybe some, investments during that time period, if you're trying to eliminate debt or get an emergency fund. Maybe you're working and contributing to a 401k. Maybe you aren't contributing to a 401k. What does that process look like? How should we integrate that? Or should we not integrate that until we're maybe getting it out of debt or what have you?
If your company is matching, oftentimes it's great to stay in that 401k. Your company should have, you know, a benefits professional that can guide you through that and at least give you the specifics on, are they matching? Are they doing a half match? Up to what percent? And most likely, if they're matching, you should stay in up to the match. Also, check out things like, you know, an HSA, different ways that you can save money pre-tax. Again, your company should have all that information through their benefits manager, but that's just another piece that can help you. What do you have for examples on that, as far as what are your thoughts?
You know, it's a good question. And, you know, I think number one, just like you said, you know, consult your HR advisor, or whoever handles your 401k, to see what you're actually getting. I think that we weren't putting any money towards investments as we, you know, our number one was to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. That was our number one goal. So we weren't contributing anything to investments at that time.
Yeah, we stopped for a while.
So we kind of stopped that with, but I don't know if that's a great decision. I think it's maybe more of an individual basis.
Sure.
on what that looks like, but you know, certainly something to consider, depending on what your goals are, maybe what even what your age is going to factor into it. There's lots of things that you should, when you're tracking your money and budgeting, lots of things that you should eliminate. What are some of the things? I think of like good life insurance. I think most people don't have. Most people, you know, don't have any savings and they don't have any life insurance, but they're still, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and probably living above their means. Talk about the importance of life insurance and maybe why someone would actually want to maybe get some life insurance.
Yeah, that's definitely important, especially if you have a spouse or children. I mean, that should definitely be on the list. We would be in a very different position right now if something happened to one of us and we had no life insurance for, you know, the other. You do want to prepare for a scenario in which you hope doesn't ever happen, but you want to prepare the others in case it did one day.
Right, yeah. I mean, good personal financial management is preparing for the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And preparing for if the worst case scenario happens, if you had a working spouse, whatever, who passed, you know, do you have kids? Do you have real estate? Do you have whatever it may be? What would that look like if their income was no longer there?
Right.
And so life insurance is such a needed mm-hmm. item for people to have that most people don't.
For sure.
So, you know, we talk about, you know, life insurance a decent amount on the show too, but you can never talk about enough. Anything else that maybe, you know, strikes out at just, you know, people needing to have in place or not have in place, things like that for their financial future?
Not right offhand. I think that you can easily go through when you start to budget and take off all the things that you may have on there that you don't need. They can free up space for things like getting life insurance. I mean, do you need, it's just your own opinion, but do you need 5 subscriptions to things that you don't even know are being charged, you know?
Right.
Freeing some of those up can automatically give you, instead of trying to find a way to earn more money, can automatically free up more money to purchase the life insurance or to, you know, make another payment towards that debt.
So talk about the transition that we went through as far as, you know, again, we've beat it in the ground as far as, you know, wanting to eliminate debt, but now we've kind of transitioned into a much different phase of, you know, hey, now we're trying to determine, you know, how much we can actually save and maybe invest.
Sure. That's kind of the fun piece
now,
because you go through the budget and you have your set cost and then there's no debt to pay. So no car payments. So all those hundreds or thousands that you just were automatically paying before, you now get to assign wherever you would like. So you set different goals. You set savings goals, whether it's, you know, putting more money into an account to save in cash or invest or purchase some real estate, give more, you know, whatever it may be. You now have the flexibility to make that decision, or you can do all of it.
I like the all of it approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true, you know, the old adage that, you know, it does take money to make money.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we want to help everyone do. Save more money, you know, build for their future, being able to take advantage of different opportunities, whether that's, you know, going out, you know, on a Friday night to a meal with your family, or, you know, taking a vacation, or, you know, being able to, you know, invest in a, you know, stock or fund or what have you. You know, if you look at the market right now, I think there's, you know, some really good opportunities to invest and get really good returns. You can't, of course, do that, you know, if you're not planning for that and
right.
Actually having enough money to invest. And, it really doesn't take much money to invest. You know, you may be starting with, you know, $20 a week or $20 a month. Who knows?
Sure.
But wherever you're starting, start there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest key takeaway. So we appreciate so much tuning in. Hopefully this has been helpful. If you have any questions after the show, give us a call. We'd love to help you get on great financial footing for your future. 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We appreciate you tuning in. Have a great week. We'll catch you next weekend.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg. Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiga K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.